Is there a safer way to build a nuclear power plant?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now the global perspective, what's happening in business and economics at the intersection of the U.S. and the rest of the world. Because of higher radiation levels coming from the Fukushima plant in Japan, the government there is asking even more residents who live close to the plant to leave. Of course, we look at Japan's nuclear crisis as a cautionary tale for nuclear plants in our nation. Peter Coy is a reporter for Bloomberg Markets Magazine. In the new issue, he says there is newer, safer nuclear technology on the horizon here and around the world, but the focus on Fukushima and other plants that are decades old could overshadow that. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
What is wrong with today's reactors?
Today's reactors are built on a standard that was developed in the 1950s. And the problem is that you can't just, you know, let the plant go off on its own and shut down by itself. The pumps go out. Suddenly you have a huge problem circulating the water that's needed to cool down that uranium. The boiling water reactor that was used in all of the reactors in Fukushima is used in roughly a third of the plants in the U.S.
Yeah, but the dangers at our plants here are different than the ones in Japan, right?
Basically, you never know what could go wrong, and we constantly get blindsided by disasters we didn't expect to happen. I spoke with a spokesman from Tokyo Electric Power about this, and I said, you know, were you prepared for a worst-case scenario? He said, yes. I said, well, what about this one then? He said, well, I guess we weren't prepared for a worst case scenario. And the thought is, how can you prepare for everything? Now, the new plants that are being built now, they are substantially safer. They're about 100 times as safe in terms of the risk of a core failure as the current fleet of plants.
Can these be 100% safe, though?
These nuclear power plants are not 100% safe. Anytime you're splitting atoms, you're taking some kind of risk. It's really going to be a matter of society weighing the risks.
Peter Coy, economics correspondent for Bloomberg Business Week. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Let's do the numbers. European stock markets are higher at the moment, about 0.5% or more. The Asian shares today rose. Japan's Nikkei added 1%. A new survey by the Federal Reserve says American families are making less money today than they were before the financial crisis, 18% less. Wall Street, however, made a little money yesterday. The Dow tacked on 84 points to close at 12,170.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, offering its Raise Your Rate CD as well as online savings account and money market account. Learn more at allybank.com. By Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. And by Reputation.com, monitoring, protecting, and improving reputations online while deleting personal data from the internet. Reputation.com.
British oil giant BP is in trouble again. A $15 billion deal for access to key oil fields in Russia is hanging by a thread. From London, here's Marketplace's Stephen Beard.
Just after last year's disaster, BP signed a $15 billion deal to drill for oil and gas in the Arctic. Its partner, an oil company largely owned by the Russian government. But BP already had some Russian partners. They weren't part of the deal. They felt shut out and took legal action to stop it. They've just won their case. Neil McGregor is an oil analyst with stockbrokers Redmayne Bentley. He says BP has just suffered another big hit to its reputation when this Arctic venture was supposed to improve its image.
This deal showed that BP was hurt by the Gulf of Mexico, but not yet crippled, and could still be a large player in large deals going forward in new frontiers.
If the Arctic deal does fall through, BP may have to pay the state-owned oil company a fortune in compensation. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Well, staying in Russia now, 1,500 head of top beef cattle recently arrived there from Montana. A half dozen cowboys, too. It's a unique joint venture between a couple of Russian businessmen and an American rancher. Peter Van Dyke went to see how the project is going.
Daryl Stevenson has spent most of the past 2 months in the southern Russian region of Voronezh working to create a cattle ranch out of nothing. It's nowhere near finished, which makes the Russian winter harder to deal with.
This storm today is not good at all. You can see for yourself. We can't see, but maybe 200 meters out here. And the wind is blowing, and these calves need some protection.
Back in the warmth of a Western-style bunkhouse built for his crew, Stevenson explains the sheer scale of what he and his two Russian partners are trying to do.
This will be the nucleus for establishing a commercial beef cow herd in this region of Russia, and hopefully to extend further than that.
Russia wants to produce 85% of its own meat by the year 2020. Right now, Russians eat less than half as much beef as the average American, and almost all of their beef comes from old dairy cows and is best used for soup. In the makeshift barn, more than 100 cows and calves shelter from the weather. Alexander Naritsin is the head veterinarian on the ranch. He says the $18 million project will help Russia's farmers meet the government's goal.
This is a very ambitious project, but it's necessary. In Russia right now, 1% of cattle are beef cattle, so our project is enormous, but it's a drop in the bucket.
Stevenson says the soil here is richer and the climate better for farming than back in Montana.
In 5 years, I wouldn't be surprised one bit to have 5,000 to 10,000 head of cattle roaming pastures within an hour's drive from this location.
That would be nothing in Stevenson's home state, but in Russia, it would be a huge step forward. In southern Russia, I'm Peter Van Dyke for Marketplace.
And finally, I don't know about you, but when I retire, give me a warm, sunny beach and a beer. But I may be in the minority. Forbes magazine says some colder weather climates have started popping up on the list of top places for seniors. Salt Lake City, Indianapolis, Fargo, North Dakota. Yes, Fargo came in at number 16 on the Forbes list. The city ranked high because of low tax rates and crime and the availability of doctors. Great place to live? You betcha. The complete list, by the way, is at marketplace.org. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Are you a klutz in the kitchen? Have you ever wondered what the heck is a brunoise anyway? Chef Zadi can change that for cheap at his new cooking school.
Brunoise is supposed to be 1/8 of an inch. It's a little square.
I'm Kai Rizdal, serving up a culinary school that costs way less than Le Cordon Bleu. That's next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.